Well, good morning, Trinity Church. It is good to be with you all this morning. Thank you all for everybody who is joining in online and everybody who is in house. It is so wonderful to see you all. And for those of you who may not recognize me or know who I am, my name is Marvin Williams Jr., and I am the firstborn son of Marvin Williams Sr., the lead teaching pastor here at Trinity Church. So it is an honor and a pleasure and a privilege to be with you all on this cold winter snowy morning. So thank you all for tuning in and waking up early to come to church today. For the last time you all saw me, I actually had a full head of hair, and I was a student at Moody Bible Institute, but in due time, none of those things remain. Actually, about a month ago, I went completely bald. So my mom had two bald Marvins in the house. But the thing that I'm most excited about is the fact that I graduated Moody Bible Institute. Thank you. In December, I graduated Moody Bible Institute, and I graduated with my degree in biblical preaching. And so that's what I'm doing today, is preaching. And so, like I said, it is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be with you all today. And I'm excited for the next steps that the Lord has for me. I don't know everything yet, but I'm taking the baby steps to get to where I'm supposed to be and where the Lord's leading me. So, like I said, thank you all for joining in and tuning in. And this week, we've been going through a series called Connection. And this series is about connecting with God in the different ways that people do it. People connect with God, we talked about a few weeks ago, through tradition, which may be, you know, Christian traditions such as liturgy. People connect with God through senses, and we call those people the sensates, people who connect with God through the five senses. Last week, Jack Magruder, he talked about the activist, the people who connect with God through action. And this week, we're talking about the aesthetic, not the aesthetics, how a building looks, but the aesthetic, people who connect with God through solitude and simplicity. Okay, so we're gonna be talking about that, and this is a kind of a funny one because we don't hear the word aesthetic too often. And this is, as my dad invited me into this, I said, you know, this is the one that I connect with the most. Being an ascetic is who I am, someone who connects with God through solitude and simplicity. I'll kind of give you an example of what that looked like for my life. My last semester of Moody, as many of you all know, especially if you're a college student, it looked a lot different than past semesters. This semester, it was a little bit shorter. It was about 3 months. And we had a lot of restrictions because of the pandemic, because of COVID. And what that looked like was we had restrictions on our social gatherings. We had restrictions on our classroom gatherings. We even had restrictions on our dining hall hours. So it was really kind of stressful in that kind of way. But on top of that, for me personally, I didn't have a roommate. There were 14 new guys on the floor, but the Lord prevented me from having a roommate. And on top of that, at the beginning of the semester, the Lord led me into a season of fasting and praying. So for the 3 months that I was on Moody's campus, I was alone, and I fasted, you know, twice a week. And so there are times where I was alone, solitude, and just being alone with the Lord. And some of you online or in the house, you all may be saying, you know, 3 months alone with the Lord? Like, that doesn't sound too much fun to me. But the truth is, I actually loved it. I actually loved being alone with the Lord, fasting, praying, and seeking his face. So for the past 3 months, or the 3 months that I was on campus, I was living an ascetic lifestyle, someone who connects with God through solitude and simplicity. And some of you out here, you say, ooh, you know, connecting with God, solitude, simplicity, that doesn't sound too fun. But some of you out there are saying, no, what I would give to have 3 months alone with the Lord and seeking his face. So I have good news for you today. If that's you, this message is for you. If you connect with God in this way, this message is for you. But if you are saying, I don't really connect with the Lord this way, don't tune out just yet, because the big idea of this message is that not every Christian has an ascetic temperament, but every Christian who is led by the Spirit of God will go through an ascetic season, okay? Not every Christian has an ascetic temperament, but every Christian led by the Spirit of God will have an ascetic season, or a season, a wilderness season, if you will. So before we hop into it, I'll pray us into it, and we'll get going, okay? Yeah, Jesus, we come before you, thanking you for your might and your power in our hearts today, and your power and your presence in this building. So Lord, I'm asking that as I preach, Lord, as I speak, that the power of your Spirit would rest upon my words and touch the people in their hearts. Whether people have an ascetic leaning or not, Lord, I'm asking that you would touch all of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So like I said, and if you all online, if you all see me turn my head to the right or turn my head to the left, that's because there's people in the building and I want to make sure that I'm engaging everybody, okay? So that's just kind of a notification for you all online. But like I said, we're talking about people who connect with God today through solitude and simplicity. I'll kind of give you an example of what that looked like for me over the semester, because like I said in the beginning, I didn't have a roommate. So because I didn't have a roommate, I was able to mix and match my room in any kind of way that I liked. So I had my bed in a corner, and I had a couple desks to the side, and I had, you know, a couple dressers, and that was it. And then I just had one large space in the middle of my room. And one of my friends, after I was done organizing my room, and, you know, after we're a couple weeks into the semester, one of my friends, he comes into my room, and he looks around, and he says, "Dude, this is a prison cell." Like that's literally how bare bones my room was. And some of you are saying, you know, you can spruce it up a little bit, but this is the way that I connected with God. This is the way that through solitude and simplicity, particularly simplicity, is how I connect with the Lord. So when we talk about the people who connect with God through ascetic practices, what do we mean? And we have to ask, you know, what does an ascetic mean? So this is the definition of an ascetic. This is someone, those who choose to give up an extravagant lifestyle to limit the distractions that may hinder them from connecting with God. That's all an ascetic is, or someone who has a leaning towards the wilderness or a leaning towards solitude and simplicity. Those who choose to give up an extravagant lifestyle to limit the distractions that may hinder them from connecting with God. Now, there are two primary ways that people who have this kind of temperament, people who have this leaning, there are two primary ways that they connect with the Lord. One is through solitude. The second is through simplicity, okay? Solitude and simplicity. So the first way that people with an ascetic temperament connect with the Lord is through solitude. Now, what is solitude? Because when we hear the word solitude, it's like, okay, you know, well, you know, what's going on? You know, spending time alone. I don't really like that all too much. But I think there's an important distinction that we have to make. There's a difference between solitude and isolation. Okay? There's a difference between solitude and isolation. Solitude is intentional time spent alone with God. But isolation is when we take time and spend it alone with ourselves. We're not really intentionally connecting with God. And sometimes when we get into those modes and those moods, it's not really all that healthy to be isolated, but it's healthy spiritually for us to engage in a time and a season of solitude. And so what that looks like, it may be spending time alone with the Lord on your way to work. Or it may look like spending time alone with the Lord, you know, in your room or in a hotel room or in your living room. It doesn't matter, but solitude is about this is about this intentional time spent alone with the Lord and simply engaging your heart with His word, engaging your heart in worship, engaging your heart in His presence. Okay, so that's solitude. Ascetics champion solitude, not necessarily isolation, okay? So simplicity is the second way, it's the second primary way that people connect with God, ascetics connect with the Lord. So what is simplicity? Simplicity is reducing the extravagance of our life in order to connect with God more. Or it's reducing the busyness of life in order to connect with God. And that could look like, it could look like, you know, reducing the busyness of your schedule and the meetings that you have in a day. Or it could look like, you know, taking time with your clothing and, you know, getting simpler clothing. It can be all kinds of different things, but simplicity is mainly about reducing the busyness of life, reducing the extravagance of life in order to connect with God more. So if you have an ascetic temperament, if you have an ascetic leaning, a leaning towards simplicity, a leaning towards solitude, I would encourage you to heighten these practices in your life. But if you don't, if you don't have this leaning, I would also encourage you to experiment. See what it looks like to spend time alone with the Lord for 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. It can be any kind of way that you think of. But be creative but engage with these practices because they are healthy spiritual disciplines in order to mature us as Christians. But you may be sitting there in the pews or online and you may be saying, okay, well, where is this found in the Bible? How many people in the Bible have an ascetic temperament? Well, I'm glad you asked, because there are a few notable people in the scriptures that actually lived an ascetic life. There are actually a lot of people in the scriptures that actually pursued the wilderness. There are actually people in the scriptures that engaged in solitude and simplicity. The first example that I have are the people of Israel. Do you recall when the people of Israel were delivered out from the hand of Pharaoh, from slavery in Egypt, and the Lord led them into the wilderness? They were there for 40 years. And 40 years in that wilderness, they pretty much ate the same food. They drank pretty much the same water. They had quail. They had manna, and they pretty much had simple clothing. And they didn't have too many things that would in their lifestyle that would busy them. But that season in that wilderness was so that they could connect with God. And so the people of Israel are a prime example of people that of a community of people that engaged in the wilderness, that stayed in the wilderness to connect with the Lord. Another biblical example is Daniel, the prophet Daniel. He actually lived an ascetic lifestyle for most of his life. It says, as a young man to his older years, he pursued fasting, he pursued prayer, he pursued solitude, he pursued simplicity. And so many of you all, we know about the Daniel fast. And this man is the one who spurs us on to do the Daniel fast. Because, you know, he had fruits, vegetables, you know, nuts and the whole thing. So we get the Daniel fast from the prophet Daniel. And you'll see throughout the entire book that he is dedicated and committed to an ascetic lifestyle. Another premier biblical example is John the Baptist. Now, this guy is pretty cool because, you know, in Matthew 3:4, it talks about how he had camel's garment and a leather belt and, you know, he ate locusts and honey. And you're like, man, this dude is hardcore. But the thing is that he was, like, since the time he was like a teenager until probably he was like in his 30s sometime, he was in the wilderness. And he was seeking God in solitude and simplicity. And John's mission was to point us to the one man, Jesus Christ. And believe it or not, Jesus, our Lord himself, actually had an ascetic temperament. If you recall in Matthew 4, where Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and he comes out and you know, the Spirit descends upon him and he rests upon him. But then in the next verses, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, Jesus, our Lord and Savior himself, spent time in the wilderness, spent time fasting, spent time praying, spent time in solitude and simplicity. And in Mark 1, it talks about Jesus waking up early, probably 3-4 in the morning, to go to a desolate place and to connect with God. So some of you all with an ascetic temperament, you all may be saying, man, this is really encouraging to see biblical examples of this. But some of you out there, you know, you say, man, well, I know I'm supposed to be like Jesus. And I know, you know, this is a certain way that he connected with God. And, you know, Jesus, he's kind of a 10 on all of the levels, you know, a traditionalist, a sensate, and, you know, all the different things that we've been talking about. But some of you out there are saying, well, this isn't exactly how I connect with the Lord. This isn't what it looks like in my quiet time. This doesn't really look like, you know, how I connect with the Lord on a personal level. And like I said, don't tune out just yet, because the big idea of this whole entire message is that not every Christian has an ascetic temperament, but every Christian who is led by the Spirit will have an ascetic season. And really what I'm trying to say is that whether you have a leaning towards the wilderness or not, there will be a time in your life where you will enter a wilderness. There will be a time in your life when everything in life is stripped away and you're left in this place of solitude. You're left in this place of simplicity. Even though this may not be the way that you connect with the Lord, there will be a time where you enter into a wilderness. And the question you ought to ask is, what do I do in this wilderness? How do I navigate my ascetic season? What do I do when seasons and times of solitude and simplicity hit me unexpectedly? And for all of us, I mean, 2020 hit us hard. 2020 hit us hard, and some of us in 2020, we all entered a wilderness. But some of us may still be in that wilderness. Some of us may have just entered a wilderness. Some of us might be in a wilderness, and some of us may be exiting a wilderness, but the question of the hour is, what do we do in the wilderness? So I've been kind of living this ascetic life for like maybe 3-4 years, something like that. And I'm not saying I'm the end all be all, but I've been in this season of fasting and praying, and my family knows that. Is that, you know, I sometimes get really intense about it. And so I've been in this wilderness season, if you will, or this ascetic season for the past 3-4 years. And there are five things that I've learned. There are five important truths that I've learned about navigating the wilderness. And these five don't cover everything, but I believe that these guides and these tips will help you, whether you're online or whether you're in person. I believe that these tips will help you navigate your wilderness and do it faithfully, okay? So I'll work through these and we'll have a little bit of fun with it. So number one, these are five tips and tricks on what to do in your wilderness. How do you navigate the wilderness? Number one is that the Lord is looking for your affections, not your actions. He is looking for your affections, not your actions. You see, sometimes I get into this mode where I'm like, okay, how many times a day can I pray? Or what's the amount of time that I pray every day? Or what are the, how many days can I fast a week? And when I get into these modes, if you're anything like me, you may do the same thing. And we get into these seasons and we get into these modes of, okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. But the Lord is saying, I didn't bring you into the wilderness for your actions. I brought you into the wilderness so I could woo your heart to love me again. I have brought you into this wilderness so that you can love me, that the first commandment would be made first place in your life once again. So the Lord, and this is not to say that your actions don't matter. Because if you set your heart to fast and pray, stick to your commitment. But that is not the primary thing that the Lord is after. He is after your heart. He is after your love. And a verse to kind of strengthen this point, to give it a biblical foundation, is Hosea 6:6. Hosea 6:6 says this, and this is the Lord speaking through Hosea. He says this, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And what the Lord is saying in this, he says, I don't want your actions, but I want you to know me more. I don't want your how big of a sacrifice you can bring to me. I don't want the 1,000 cattle. I don't want the 1,000 sheep, because I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own those things, but the thing that I don't own is your heart, but I want it. And that's what he says. He's after your affections, not your actions. But if you've made a commitment to the Lord, stick with it, okay? But this kind of flows into the second point, because there's also been times where I say, okay, Lord, you know, I'm gonna go on a, you know, 21-day Daniel fast or something like that. And I go, you know, and I'm on MSU campus or something, and I'm driving, you know, and I'm 5 days into my Daniel fast, and I'm eating fruits, vegetables, and nuts and things, and I'm on campus, and you know, I drive by Five Guys, and I smell French fries, and I'm like, and then I think to myself, well, let me just take a U-turn and just, you know, I just want to get another whiff. I just need another whiff of the French fries, you know. But then an idea pops into my mind, and I'm like, oh, wait, I'm on a fruits, vegetables, and nuts diet, so I know Five Guys has free peanuts in the line. So, you know, I think I'm just going to park my car here and just get a couple free peanuts and stuff like that, you know, just to check it out, you know. And I get in line, and I'm like, you know, but then I have another thought. I'm like, oh, potatoes are vegetables, I think, or there's something like that. You know, I think they're healthy. So then I'm like, oh, French fries. I mean, that's technically a vegetable, I think, you know, something like that. So then I'm like, okay, well, I can get, you know, probably, you know, a small fry, because I'm on a Daniel fast. But then I get to the register, and it's like, oh, you know, a double cheeseburger actually sounds pretty good right now, you know? And then, you know, then I'm 15 minutes later, I've eaten a cheeseburger, French fries, and a root beer, you know, drank a root beer, and then I'm like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm rejected from the ministry. I can't preach anymore. I can't, you know, and we get into these modes of where we get so hard and so caught up in our actions. But point number two and tip number two is give yourself grace. Give yourself grace, because the Lord knows our humanity. He knows our weakness. So when you set your heart to fast, stick to your commitment. But if you stumble a little bit here or there, don't get so hard on yourself. Don't beat yourself up, because the Lord knows your weakness, and he will give you grace. So be kind to yourself. Point number three is embrace fasting and prayer. So not only give yourself grace, so, you know, don't make a habit of saying, okay, I'm just gonna go to Five Guys every time I feel hungry, but stick to your commitment. But three is actually embrace fasting and prayer. Embrace the fasted and prayer lifestyle, because Jesus actually expected his disciples to fast. It wasn't one of those optional things that we can, you know, just pick or choose, but he actually expected his disciples to fast. Check this out in Matthew 9:15. This is, now the Pharisees have come to Jesus, and they say, why don't your disciples fast and pray like our disciples? And Jesus says this. He says, and Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. So embrace fasting and prayer. This is one of those things that Jesus expected of his disciples. Okay? Number four is balance your strictness. If you're a young and, you know, a zealous young man like I am, or, I mean, you don't have to be a young man, but you could be anybody. But if you're, sometimes we get so passionate, and sometimes we get so committed to our strictness, and, you know, I need to seek God right now, and, you know, you cannot talk to me, you know, and we get in, sometimes I get into this mode. Also, we're in this rhythm of where I've cut off my relationships with people because I was so strict in my seeking the Lord. And one of the things that I've noticed in the past is that, and that was towards the beginning, but now I'm learning how to be kinder and make time for the people that I'm with. Because one of the things that I realized was that when I would be so caught up in my strictness in fasting and praying, I would cut off the relationships and I would actually hurt a lot of the people that loved me. And there have been times where people have had to confront me and say, you know, hey, you know, we love your passion for the Lord. You know, you're zealous and we love it. But at the same time, it hurts when you have to be gone for so long. So what I've learned to do is I've learned to really balance my strictness and say, no, I'm going to spend time with my family. I'm going to spend time with my friends. Because like I said, the primary ways that a person with an ascetic temperament connects with the Lord is, you know, one of them is through solitude. And so the solitude sometimes can turn into these long hours of being away from people. And let me tell you this, if you have an ascetic temperament and you neglect the relationships in your life, you're doing it wrong. Because we've been made for community. We've been made to connect with one another. We've been made to help each other along. And so the people around you, they're there to support you, to love you. They'll champion your solitude and simplicity, but don't neglect them, okay? So that's number four. Number five is this, and this is more of a serious note. Number five is that there is real warfare in the wilderness. There is real warfare in the wilderness. Trinity, I don't know if you know this, but we have an adversary named the devil, that ancient, twisted serpent who hates it when we connect with God. And he is after your life, he's after your family, and he is after your intimacy with the Lord. And he will do anything to derail you from connecting with God. But the thing is that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and we do not live off of bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is what we live by. So I'll give you an example of one of the times that I encountered warfare in my wilderness. There was a time I was in a season of really intense fasting and prayer. It was about a few years ago. And during this time, I was losing a lot of weight. Because I just wasn't eating a lot. And it wasn't one of those unhealthy losing weight. It's just, you know, I was just fasting and praying a lot. And there was, you know, how in Ephesians 6, where it says that the devil throws fiery darts in our mind. And he throws fiery darts towards us. And there was a time where those fiery darts hit my thoughts, hit my mind. And the thought that came to mind, it was demonic in nature. And it said, there was this thought that came to say, you're going to get an eating disorder. You're going to get anorexia. And when that thought hit me, I stumbled back because I was in my car and I was driving to a meeting. And it hit me and I was taken aback because I was like, no, this can't happen to me. Is this really what's happening right now? But then I wasn't mature enough to know that was warfare that I was encountering in my wilderness. But Trinity, let me reassure you, the one who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. So Jesus who lives in you is greater than he who lives in the world. So when you encounter warfare in your wilderness, say, devil, the Lord rebuke you, and I am going to stand for what the Lord has called me to do in this season. Do not give in. Do not give in, but embrace fasting and prayer. Embrace seeking the Lord. Embrace the wilderness, because the Lord is after your affections. He wants your love, and he wants you to move with him. He wants you to walk with him. This is what we've been called to do, Trinity. So it doesn't matter if you have an ascetic temperament or not. You will go through a wilderness. But the question is, what will you do in the wilderness? And the five things are affections over actions. Give yourself grace. Embrace fasting and prayer. Balance your strictness. And when you encounter warfare in the wilderness, walk with the Lord. Amen? Amen. So I'll pray us out, and I'll hand it back to Charlie. Yeah, so Jesus, we come before you saying thank you. Thank you that you've brought us here, Lord. And thank you that you brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. So, Lord, even though we may not, all of us may have an ascetic temperament, Lord, I'm asking that when we go through our wilderness, that you would be our shepherd. Lord, I'm asking that you would lead us and guide us in the way of righteousness. So, Lord, I'm asking that you would touch all of our hearts today, that we would embrace fasting and prayer, that you would touch our lives with a grace to walk with you in the wilderness. So, Jesus, we bless your name, and we say thank you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Trinity.
Marv, you're absolutely fantastic, my man. Every single time I hear you speak, it's just like, dang, this guy's good. Like, this guy's fantastic. So thank you, Marv Jr. Thank you to all of you who joined us online and in person this morning. I got two questions for you. What resonated with you from today's gathering, and what are you going to do this week as a result? What resonated with you? What are you going to do this week as a result? A couple of reminders, info.weartrinity.com. We have our Lent broadcasts going every day this week from Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. on each of our online platforms. That's all I got for you. Have a great week.